Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 8 of Kind Stop the Bad podcast series. In today's episode, we're discussing the cyber risks and challenges facing small and medium-sized businesses. I'm Melanie Hayes, Chief Marketing Officer at Kind, and today I'm joined by Kind CEO Andy Thomas. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Melanie.
And our very special guest, Andy Bates. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Melanie.
Who's the Executive Director of Global Cyber Alliance, the international cross-sector organisation dedicated to making the internet a safer and more trustworthy place by helping to combat and address cyber risk. Thank you both so much for joining me. I'm really looking forward to talking to you both, although I do appreciate having two Andys on an audio podcast may be a bit tricky. So to get us started, we're all aware that cybercrime has quickly become today's fastest growing type of crime. I mean, quite literally, hardly a week goes by without another devastating and costly and often highly sophisticated, because they're all highly sophisticated, right? Cyber attacks making international headlines. And I guess this is understandable when large businesses like British Airways, Marriott, or even the recent case of the retailer Fatface suffering a cyber attack or data breach. This bad news spreads so quickly around the world, and the repercussions potentially affect millions of individuals globally. So we can clearly see that cybercrime has nowadays become a major challenge for relatively large businesses. But how serious is this for SMEs? And perhaps I can start with you, Andy from Kind, if I may.
Melanie, thanks. And you're absolutely right. Cyber attacks against big businesses are nothing new and very high profile. That immediately cause a great deal of media attention, specifically in the case of a security breach or the loss of data or the loss of operation. Cyber attacks on smaller business are unlikely to get anywhere near the same level of publicity. But this doesn't mean that they're not happening. It just means that, in general, people don't hear about them. This can give smaller businesses a false sense of security. But according to the 2019 SMB Cyber Threat Study, an alarming two-thirds of SME leaders believe that their company is too small to be targeted by cyber criminals. Now, while they may feel that size takes them off the radar, they're actually a prime target. Because hackers don't really discriminate on size. Any business out there, regardless of size or the industry they operate in, is susceptible. And that's because they store data, they handle money, they got other valuable assets within their organization, all of which are incredibly attractive for anybody who wants to do them harm. A 2019 report from Verizon showed that 43% of cyber attacks were aimed at small to medium-sized businesses. And that number just keeps on growing. And this is on top of recent research commissioned by Vodafone, which found that over a staggering 1.3 million of SMEs would be at risk of collapse if they suffered a cyber incident. That's quite a scary number.
There's some really worrying numbers there, Andy. And perhaps going to you, Andy, from GCA. Sorry, I hate having to describe you like that. But from your experience, why do you think SMEs are such an attractive target to cyber criminals?
I think, as Andy's nicely covered, that many of the SMEs don't really have the resource to put in place adequate security measures and training. And often, you know, IT is probably the low thing down the budget, particularly if you're a very small business, a startup, there's a lot of things going on. I think as well, you know, Andy's nicely said that people always think it will never happen to them. It'll never happen to me kind of culture. And maybe later in the call, we should talk about a fatal cyber attack versus the equivalent of a mere flesh wound, so I guess a fraudulent attack. But the amount of businesses I'm seeing who are losing money and not realizing that money has been stolen from them versus we've talked about ransomware. So ransomware could take out a small business completely. So that's a classic fatal attack. And I think they should be rightfully worried about both of those two ends of the paradigm. And then finally, and I guess to be on topic with COVID, you know, a lot's been going on in the last year. So whether your small business is a pub, a chip shop, or a widget manufacturer running a factory somewhere, there's been a lot going on with furloughing staff and then business bounce back loans and all the other things that have been going on in the wider economy. And that just takes the eye off the ball from the cyber conversation, which frankly is sometimes a little bit geeky and a little bit boring compared to the life and death thing that we see on the news every night. So I've got a lot of sympathy for small businesses, to be fair, which is why, you know, we're keen on helping them out as much as we can.
Absolutely. And it just goes to show you just how vulnerable SMEs are. So Andy from Kind, given such a broad cyber threat landscape, particularly with the COVID and the new methods of working from home and new ways of working, what are the possible repercussions an organisation may encounter in the event of an attack?
Well, just to follow on from what Andy said, Direct financial costs are the perhaps most obvious consequence of many attacks, but I like the analogy of the life-threatening versus flesh wound attack. It's a great way of thinking about things. So let's talk about cash in your business. Every organization pays suppliers, receives money from clients, but so an attack on that particular part of the business and what is called in the industry business email compromise, that can have a material effect on the cash flow position of any organization. And one of the great advantages in the UK is our faster payments infrastructure. But unfortunately, the corollary of that is once the money is gone, it's gone, and it's very, very difficult to get that money restored to your account. Then moving on from there, looking at taking it beyond just business email compromise and say, okay, imagine my organization got hit by a ransomware attack and in such a way couldn't actually operate the organization until we'd recovered from that attack. So the cost of response and recovery following an incident like that can be quite eye-watering for many smaller businesses. Not being able to trade for several days, the cost of having to bring it backups and recover systems from those backups, possibly even the cost of external support and help to help the organization recover. All of these are consequential costs associated with suffering these attacks. And meanwhile, all of this time you're dealing with either a fraudulent transfer or indeed a full-scale ransomware attack. Therefore, you can't trade. And the cost of business interruption and the lost revenue must be mentioned. Because for many SMEs, being able to just not trade for a week and the cost of associated with that can have enormous consequences for the business and the health of the business, and indeed often the ongoing viability of the business. So serious damage to a company's reputation follows from these attacks as well. And that's one of the more qualitative factors. So hard-earned suppliers, hard-earned clients, the reputation of the organization itself and its standing amongst its peers will obviously be a consequence. I'm not a fan of shaming. I think everybody, and probably will, suffer some sort of cyber incident. So people shouldn't be shamed by the fact that they've fallen victim. Problem is the recovery process beyond that and the impact that it has upon your customer and client relationships. Layer over that, regulatory changes on top of everything else that's happened in the last year or so. And you've got a very rich environment for multiple possible consequences of the attack itself.
You're absolutely right, Andy. There is no shame in suffering a cyber attack. And if we could remove the stigma that surrounds it, it would only be a good thing. The threat of a cyber attack is truly devastating, and the threat is very real. Speaking of which, Andy, given the GCA's tireless efforts in helping organisations jointly and effectively combating cybercrime, what, from your own experience, are the most prevalent cyber threats SMEs are currently facing and should be aware of, in your opinion? And do you have any examples you can share with us?
Yes, absolutely. And great question. And unfortunately, there's loads of examples and war stories. I think going back to my previous metaphor about, you know, a fatal wound to a small business, as the other Andy touched on, ransomware is definitely the fatal blow. And we're seeing the escalation in ransomware going across the board. The good news is people like Europol and law enforcement are doing a lot to help with that. And I think to build on Andy's previous point, there is no stigma in reporting cybercrime. In fact, the more you report cybercrime to the police and law enforcement, the more that people can help with this, particularly in the ransomware situation. So the classic advice of don't pay a ransom, please do call the police, I think I would resonate with. Putting ransomware to one side, because that's the escalating growth, I'm afraid to say that phishing is still carrying on. And I think if we talk a little bit about fraud as well as pure cyber, the classic mandate fraud. So this is where somebody sent you an invoice or payment details and the sort code and account number have been changed, but the email has appeared still to come from the person who's sending you that invoice. So a trend we're seeing, and you know, we touched on it earlier, is that people used to try and steal £10 million or dollars from the big banks or big organizations. Those folks are well-resourced and are probably spending $50 to $100 million defending themselves. So just in the same way that you don't see Common and Gordon bank robbers in the street anymore, it's easier to maybe pick people's pockets. We're seeing a trend where it's easier to steal 10 million by stealing £100 from 100,000 people. And think how quickly you can send out 100,000 or maybe a million phishing emails. Probably takes half a day, 4 hours to phish a million people. You only need a small percentage of those to click on that link or inadvertently pay that invoice. And then there's the 10 million that the criminal was after in the first place. So I think that's my kind of flesh wound analogy, that if somebody is stealing £100 or £1,000 from you quite regularly, it does eventually dry out your business. Two quick war stories. We found one small business who believed an email that appeared to have genuinely come from an organization. They hadn't turned on a feature which we love called DMARC, which means it just looked like a genuine email. The person ended up losing £3,000 by buying Amazon scratch cards, of all things, and then sending the details back to the criminal. And then the most close to home example was a friend of mine who builds hotels. He'd been hacked. We told him what he should do to clean up. He took most of the advice, but not all of it. And again, unfortunately, received an email for $26,000. I won't tell you who the person was pretending to be. He paid the invoice, never got the money back. And again, had both organizations have turned on this complicated feature that's quite easy to implement called DMARC, that never would have happened. And okay, both of those businesses are still around, but I think to all of your listeners, I think everybody could do something really great with either 3,000 or 26,000. So those for me are examples of the kind of flesh wound analogy of people lost money, but business carried on. But actually, you get hit by ransomware, and we've seen 50,000 jobs in the UK lost in 2019 due to cybercrime. And those kind of impacts, either way, you could employ another person maybe with that 26,000. So it has a material and human impact as well as a business impact.
Absolutely. And ouch for those examples. Thank you for sharing those. So I think probably it's fair to say, as a kind of conclusion to whether cyber risk affects small businesses and whether they need to be concerned, is that actually, yes, unfortunately, no one is immune. And cybercrime is a grave concern for businesses of all sizes. Andy from Kind, what actions do you suggest SMEs can take to keep themselves safe and secure? I know Andy from GCA mentioned DMARC, but have you got any other tips or things you could suggest?
Of course. And we're big fans of DMARC at Kind as well. I fully endorse the GCA's efforts to promote that as a great building block step to help people stay a bit safer. There's no silver bullet, of course, to eradicate risk. You can't ever completely remove risk from your life or indeed from the operation of your business. But the principle of an ounce of prevention being worth a pound of cure exists for a very good reason. There are some very basic steps that people can take that will improve the risk resilience of their business. DMARC is one of those. Making sure you write the right security measures in place against being phished or having known vulnerabilities within the software that you're using are all basic good hygiene steps. At Kind, we understand a lot about that. We help organizations of every size identify their own risk profile and the things that they're doing in the world that make them more likely to become a target or fall victim. One of our clients described it as we identify the low-hanging fruit that kills organizations, which I quite like as an analogy. The actual proactive continuous monitoring and management of your company's risks is obviously a benefit for the larger SME. And for the smaller SME, basic risk analysis and basic risk management and mitigation steps are all great hygiene to prevent you becoming a victim. Another critical component is, and one worth considering, is cyber insurance itself. And that's not just about having the payout in place when you do suffer a loss, but also the critical part of any cyber insurance policy is actually the services that you get within it and the access to the expertise and the instant access to the expertise that you would need and many small businesses don't have when they do suffer an incident to help them reduce the impact and quickly recover from any incidents that they have seen. And then finally, of course, the first line of defense and the second and third line of defense for every business are their employees. People are always the weakest link. It's true. And particularly, as Andy said earlier on in the podcast, about where there's been so many things going on over the last year with remote working, disruption at home, homeschooling. Everyone's been dealing with so much change. Now, that level of change creates an environment where it's far easier for an employee who would normally be vigilant to click on the wrong link or to fill out the wrong information within a form. And that's very often where the worst of these incidents begin to happen. So we invest a lot of time in Kind in employee training. There's some great services and courses available to help people stay aware and stay on top of the risks that they're presenting and also make their employees aware of the risks that they are faced with every day. And I'd recommend people go out and look for that.
That's awesome, Andy. Thank you. Some really good tips there. So we're coming to the end of our time now. Just to wrap up, I think it's fair to say that we all agree that cybercrime affects small businesses just as much, and if not more, than larger organisations. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you both, and thank you so much for sharing your insights on this topic. If anyone would like more information on managing their business's cyber risks, please contact us at hello@kind.io. We're a friendly bunch, and we'd be more than happy to help. Once again, thanks, Andy, and to our listeners, and I look forward to welcoming you to the next Kind podcast, which is coming soon.